Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers as we discuss Sven Göran Eriksson, fa la 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 la.
Sven Göran Eriksson, fa la 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 la. Hello everybody, welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers, and yeah, Josh has mentioned it, Sven Göran Eriksson is the topic of debate for this episode. Is why, Josh? Why Sven?
There's a lot going on, isn't there? There's a lot. Variety.
Yeah, there definitely is that. Yeah,
we've got a managerial career which extends back much further than I'd appreciated. I think 1977 his first.
He was managing 9 years before we were born.
Mm. So his England job came 24 years into his career.
It's also bonkers to look at that and think the England job is in the middle of his career.
So just quickly, Sven, I mean, I imagine main memory is
England. Yeah, I've got a big
indiscretions.
Were they indiscretions?
Well, they had an affair. He cheated on Nancy, the beautiful Nancy DeLolio, twice. One with Ulrika Johnson and one with...
Can't remember her name. It'll be
Freya Alam.
That's it, Freya Alam. See, I didn't realise the Ulrika Johnson thing was an affair. I thought that was pre-Nancy.
No. So in May 1998, Nancy DeLolio was introduced to Eriksson. They began a relationship 6 months later. They relocated to London in 2001, when he got the England job. And in the beginning of 2002, Eriksson had an affair with Ulrika Johnson. So super early on.
Yeah.
The bright lights of London really just kind of got to him. And he must have maybe had a rerun. Because I don't think it would have been around that time of Shooting Stars, was maybe there. or Gladiators. And he was like, saw Vic Reeves rubbing his thighs at Ulrika Johnson. I would like some of that. And then... His secretary for Freya Alam, but Nancy DeLolio took him back both times.
How did he do that?
Because
he looks like Monty Burns. Burns.
Oh, yeah.
So, 100%. How did he get those women? Maybe something will come out from his managerial career.
Well, let's go back to his playing career. Right back, and he describes it as an inauspicious career. And if I was to liken it to someone having never seen him play, we played 150 times, retired age 27 because of because he was shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a Tony Hibbert. Obviously worse than.
Yeah.
But he describes himself as, I was looked upon as a distinctly average defender, but someone who rarely made mistakes. Now, mate, I'm probably being a bit harsh on Tony Hibbert because he was obviously... In terms of elite, you're playing Premier League football week in, week out. You're not bad,
yeah,
but also not great.
I think a lot of people would describe, in Premier League terms, I think a lot of people might describe Gary Neville as that.
Yeah, that's another person.
I think, obviously, Gary Neville was a phenomenal right-back, but he was a very good... He was, in terms of what he did in that team...
Right.
Like, if you had taken him out of Man United and put him somewhere else, he would have been a distinctly average right-back that didn't cause many mistakes.
That's an interesting, just an aside there, in terms of taking a player out. Ooh. And seeing, because we have a situation obviously with Brighton over the past kind of year where they've sold a lot of players, and Cucurella, Bissouma haven't really gone on to great things. And at the time of recording, Moise Caicedo is linked with a big move away. Not deterred by the fact these players haven't replicated that form, and Trossard's just gone. I'm always wary of buying a player who is playing well in a really good system.
Yeah.
So buying like maybe an RB Leipzig player or when Tottenham were doing really well under Pochettino, it's kind of like, were they playing well because of the manager and system created, and you take them out of it? It's much easier to buy a player, I think, who's playing really well in a crap side.
Yeah, I agree. Like, well, I think we've discussed this before with Ajax about buying players from Ajax, in the sense that they have such a... system that is played no matter who comes through the squad, that as soon as you take someone out of that, and I guess Dusan Tadic is probably an example of Ajax, right? Moved from Ajax, didn't really settle, went back and immediately has settled back in. So yeah, interesting.
So we look at Sven, and we have, only one of his club sides, KB Karlskoga FF, is actually clickable, and let's have a look at them. It's Division 2, Division 3. There's nothing there.
I mean,
it's founded. It seems like they're still a club.
I would definitely say they're not going to be that good when he says he joined them in Division 2, where he also worked as a PE teacher.
That does take the machine off being at football when you're doing also a PE teacher.
Yeah, it's not amazing. I'm also, that last bit there is heavily influenced by Karskalog's player manager, Tord Grip, who didn't become his assistant manager at England.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, just so we're aware, that they favoured the English style that Bob Houghton and Roy Hodgson had brought to the country. And I think Roy Hodgson might be worth an episode in the future, because he has had an incredibly roaming career.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so he came, retired age 27, 4 years later. Straight away he became an offer to be Tord Grip's assistant at Degerfors.
Right.
But then Grip was then moved on to the Swedish national team, and Eriksson became Degerfors manager. And so that was his foray into management. What's that going to be, aged kind of 29, 30?
That's pretty young and good.
Yeah, I mean, it mentions then, because then he won promotion to the second division, and with his success with, and this is unfortunately not clickable, Tom Chadney by his side, because that sounds British.
British, yeah, that definitely sounds there. British.
Yeah. He attracted attention of much larger clubs, and he was appointed IFK Gothenburg manager in 1979. The move was a surprise to many players who've never heard of him.
Okay.
Which is fair, because you've got what is at that point a 31-year-old who has played in the second division and has managed one club for a season in the third division and getting promoted to the second. To them, I know of, so let's have a look at Gothenburg.
Yeah, I know of Gothenburg.
I know it was one of the biggest. Is that where you'd kind of pitch them?
Yeah, I think they'd be one of the biggest teams, yeah.
Yeah, besides, they've got some Europa Cup titles, which we'll touch on. They've won 18 Swedish Championship titles, second most in the Swedish Football League after Malmo. And they have the second most National Cup titles of 8. And so, yeah, they're right up there. And so to bend the point, Sven is rogue. Now, results improved, but he was apparently quite defensive. He put results ahead of flair, emphasised tactical awareness, work rate, and reined in the team's old cavalier style. So it led to attendances falling by 3,000 down to 13,000.
Oh my word.
Yeah. He was influenced by Hodgson's 4-4-2, zonal marking, heavy pressing. I don't really associate heavy pressing with Roy Hodgson.
No.
Maybe that's kind of gone out of his game. In the latter years, it was very much 4-4-2, 100%, solid defensively. Really would struggle to emphasise anything about his attacking play.
Yeah, it was more like low block and mid block, right? There was no heavy pressing, and no. Interesting.
But he finished second, third, second, and then he won the treble with them.
Lovely.
And with that winning the treble, he has a breakthrough internationally, and he wins in 1982. He wins the first UEFA Cup for a Swedish club, beating Valencia in the quarterfinals, Kaiserslautern in the semifinals, and then Hamburg in the finals, and it was a two-legged affair. They won 4-0. So I'm just going to click on the 81-82 finals, actually, to see. But this is going to be pre-Rideout era.
Yeah.
Paul Rideout is where I kind of know. So I'm not expecting to know too many people in the start. So
while you have a quick flick through that, I was doing some off-Wikipedia looking around Tom Chadney.
I hope that would be the person you're looking at.
You're searching for Tom Chadney. Horse racing guy comes up. So I thought, okay, that's not him. So I went, Tom Chadney, Sven. Nothing. Absolutely nothing about Tom Chadney to do with Sven. Like, Google comes back with articles that just talk about Sven, and he's just mentioned as a name. There's no pictures. There's no what he did. He's just must have been a very obscure fellow that didn't stay around much in football.
I hoped you were going to tell me that the horse racing guy was also...
Nope.
No.
Okay. No. And that's what I thought, so that's why I did a Google search of Tom Chadney Sven to see what was in there. Nothing. Nothing comes back useful. So let us know if you know anything more about Tom Chadney.
So looking at the 1982 UEFA Cup final, it's off at Gothenburg, a fully Swedish side, and 11. It's not really many players I know. Hamburg, all but two were German, well, three, including manager Ernst Happel, very successful manager in charge, Austrian. Borussia Dordevic, it's going to be the Croatian or Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. I say Yugoslavian forward, and then Lars Bastrup up front. But there is a name I do recognise in central midfield. Fulham fans would remember him not very fondly.
Right.
Who else? Managed a lot in Germany, but if you've got a German ex-Fulham manager who they won't remember fondly, who have you got?
German. Felix Magath.
Felix Magath was there, playing in that match, yeah. Played 382 times for Hamburg. 380 times in his career, sorry. 306 for Hamburg.
When he got appointed, he struck me as a manager that had never played football before.
But he did, you know, by looking look about him.
Yeah.
Like a nerd, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, he looks like me and you.
he had glasses.
Yeah.
The Fulham career, just quickly. February 2014 to September 2014, 20 matches, won 4, lost 12, 20% win rate.
Was he the cheese will heal you man?
I think it might be, and also massive disciplinarian.
Yeah.
I heard. As a manager, Magath quickly gained respect for being known as his hard, grinding training methods, laying a heavy emphasis on discipline, fitness and conditioning. Players gave him nicknames like Saddam or Qualix, a rhyming mash of the first name Felix and the German verb Qualen for torture. He was once described by former Eintracht Frankfurt player Bashiru Salu as the last dictator of Europe. Then, after leaving Fulham in September 2014, bizarre stories emerged how Magath had suggested that Brede Hangeland rub cheese on a thigh injury. Magath stated that Hangeland did not have a thigh injury but an inflammation of the knee, and he suggested the additional use of an alternative treatment with a bandage consisting of quark. Fulham player Sasha Rita later said the story was greatly exaggerated and that Magath suggested he had used a traditional top fen curd. Oh yeah, the old traditional top fen curd. Brede Hangeland was a lovely player though.
He was so tall, wasn't he?
6'6". Not quite Dan Byrne levels.
What's Dan Byrne? 6'7"?
6'7", I think. Oh. There's no crossover there, is there? Dan Byrne?
No.
And?
Surely not.
Sure?
Well, Hangeland must have been 30s when he played for Felix Magath, and Byrne would have been... Byrne's only, what, 27 now?
31, I think.
Oh, 31.
Yeah, 30. Yeah. So, 2011-2016 is Dan Byrne's Fulham stint. Brede Hangeland is 08-14.
Oh.
So you're disgusted by that. Oh.
My immediate thought was, God, I wish I had that in Football Manager for attacking corners.
So the question is, because it was that, you would remember it fondly, the Manchester United game, whipping in crosses against Fulham, yeah. David Moyes.
Yes.
Dan Byrne played in that match, but I'm not sure how Hangeland was there. But back to Sven.
Yes.
Gothenburg wins the treble. Other sides are interested. Benfica. Natural step.
You say natural step. I think that's quite a big step. In that era, I imagine that to be quite a big... Like, again, I imagine he went to Benfica and people were like, who the hell is this guy? Okay, he's won the UEFA Cup, but it wouldn't have been as televised as football is now. There wouldn't have been social media around this up-and-coming manager. Mm. I imagine the fans still would have been like, who the hell is this?
But he was on a roll because he won the league and cup and came runners-up in the... UEFA Cup with Anderlecht.
Wow.
He was close to him back-to-back, unless Taka to Portugal, I'm presuming is...
That's the cup, yeah.
Yeah. So he's one match away from winning two trebles back-to-back in different countries.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
That's pretty impressive overall, isn't it?
Yeah. 4-4-2, mate. Don't knock it.
Absolutely. Then moves on to Roma and... apparently wasn't as successful, but did win the Coppa Italia. Moves on to Fiorentina. Trophilus, that's a shock. Trophilus goes back to Benfica. Again, loses in the European Cup final. So he's upgraded now. Loses to Milan in the 89-90 European Cup final. This is going to have some big names in it. So
he must, just while you're looking at that, he must have been like a legend at Benfica.
Yeah,
like favoured personnel is what FM would call it. I don't think it'd be quite a legend. For. Yeah, I'd go. Yeah. He'd probably be called a favoured personnel. But tell me about the cup final.
They lost 1-0 to Milan. Rijkaard scoring the 68th minute. So they had mishandled with Dutch trio Rijkaard, Van Basten and Hullet. We've got Carlo Ancelotti, Franco Baresi, Costa Curta, Paolo Maldini, Mauro Tassotti. So there's no shame losing to this Milan side. His Benfica side, a lot of Portuguese players of that era I'm not familiar with, but it did have Aldair, which I think is the Aldair, Brazilian Aldair, who also played for Roma.
Centre-back.
Yeah. So then he feels like he's got unfinished business in Italy, because he goes to Sampdoria, where he won another cup, Coppa Italia. But this is where I think he's probably a hero. So 1996. So we're still like 5 years before England. Eriksen leaves Sampdoria to manage. He agrees to go to Blackburn Rovers.
Interesting.
However, he went back on his word, stayed in Italy, and become a new manager of Lazio. Eriksen stated family reasons, wanted to stay in Italy. And Blackburn Rovers would appoint Roy Hodgson. So at least that looks to a consistent approach.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the Marco Bielsa, Sean Dyche dichotomy that Everton have got. That's two players who are cut from the same cloth. Two managers cut from the same cloth there.
Yeah.
So at Lazio, Eriksen brings in, I think it seems like for the first time, as assistant, Torgrip. And Eriksen is successful in Italy, where Lazio win the Coppa Italia, the Super Cup, European Cup Winners' Cup, which is the final one of the tournament, which I think we've touched on before,
yeah,
and the Serie A title, the Scudetto, in 2000. Only the second time that the Roman club has won the Italian championship in their history. So let me just have a look at 2000, because this is a good time.
Oh, I was just thinking as well, it seems quite bold of Lazio to appoint someone that failed at their cross-city rivals at Roma. Like,
that's very true. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who that would be like. Man City appointing David Moyes? Potentially, right?
Or Van Gaal, maybe?
Van Gaal, yeah. Someone like Van Gaal.
He's got success elsewhere.
Yeah. Right then, the year 2000, Josh, in Italy.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one which has the seasons, but can't. But I just go to 1999-2000 in Serie A. We've got top scorer, Andriy Shevchenko at Milan, Batistuta at Fiorentina, Hernan Crespo at Parma. Oh, a player I don't know, Marco Ferrante at Torino. Got 18 goals along with Vincenzo Montella at Roma. We still haven't got to a Lazio player yet. Inzaghi for Juventus, Lucarelli at Lecce, Giuseppe Signore, he's an old left-footed.
I used to sign him from Bologna, yeah.
Yeah, he's an old left-footed guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, little striker, left-winger. 541 appearances, 230 goals. Lazio legend, but this time would have been at Bologna. Christian Vieri, Inter. Roberto Muzzi at Udinese and Marcelo Salas at Lazio. 12 goals, winning the title.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Oh, Josh.
Just by a point, beating Juve by a point. Ooh.
That's very nice. I've just looked at the Cup Winners' Cup final that he won in 1999. And scoring for Lazio, Christian Vieri, who we've already looked at a lot, and Pavel Nedved.
Oh, that
must have been a lovely side. I'm going to look at the match report, see if it gives us... it'd be in there. Go to there, Dave, if that makes sense. Go to the actual final. Let's have a look at these lineups. Okay, they played Mallorca in the final. And Mallorca had Carlos Roa in goal, the Argentinian.
Remember him? He was the goalkeeper in France 98, wasn't he?
Yes, Argentina, he was.
Argentina, yes, England.
Yes, he was. Names that we recognise. Miguel Soler, left back. Recognise him. Lloron, right midfield. Obviously went to Arsenal.
Oh, right, yeah.
Later on. Ariel Ibagaza is a name I recognise. Jovan Stankovic. Danny is in there. But then you get to this Lazio team and just reel off a few names. Nesta, Mihailovic, Stankovic, Roberto Mancini, Mateus Almeida, Nedved, Salas, Vieri. Oh, Sergio Conte is now coming off the bench. Attilio Lombardo coming off the bench in the 84th minute.
Lovely. Yeah, I'm looking at the 98 Coppa Italia final. It's got your friend and ours, Pierluigi Casalaghi, up front with Roberto Mancini for Lazio. Jose Chamot, Paolo Negro. Yeah. The glory days of Serie A,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, with that programme that was on Channel 4.
Golazio!
Yeah, that one.
I always thought it was saying Golazio.
That's what I thought.
A commentator, yeah. But rather than Golazio. So, Lazio he does that, and then that's where England get interested. Kevin Keegan resigns. Do you remember that? His resignation.
Yeah, after in the Germany.
Old Wembley. Didi Haman scored. David Seaman fumbled. Wet day. And Kevin Keegan, very honestly, is like, "I'm just not good enough. I'm not up to it. I can't do it." And now he joins 2001. So we have 2002 World Cup, which is where the qualifying we have beating Germany 5-1, where one of the great songs of our generation is written. We're on the ball.
Yeah, your favourite song in football terms.
In that same qualifying, we still had to have the David Beckham penalty v Greece.
Wow.
How dramatic were our qualifications back then?
The free kick would be great now. The free kick. Yeah.
In the 2002 World Cup is where we drew with Sweden, beat Argentina 1-0, drew with Nigeria, beat Denmark before losing to 10-man Brazil to win the tournament. 10-man Brazil.
Who got sent off? Was that the David Seaman lob? Ronaldinho?
Yes. Rivaldo opener and Ronaldinho.
I don't remember someone getting someone sent off in that game. Yeah.
2004... World Cup, we have going out to Portugal. So Michael Owen gave us lead. Helder Postiga. Is Helder Postiga still playing?
Surely not.
Would you reckon? Yes, no, no. Now age 40. So obviously Spurs signed him from Porto. Didn't work. 19 appearances, one goal. Went back to Porto. Then we have Saint-Étienne, Panathinaikos, Sporting, Zaragoza, Valencia, Deportivo La Coruña. 71 appearances for Portugal, 27 goals.
That's too many.
That is too many, yeah. Spurs signed him for 6.25 million with Glenn Hoddle. He's a player who had a definite striking quality to our squad. As a young player with proven ability, I'm sure our supporters will enjoy watching him over the coming seasons.
Yeah. Did you enjoy watching him over the coming seasons, Josh?
Season, and I always thought there was something there, but he seemed a bit too passive and lightweight for the league. Fellow new signing Bobby Zamora. Oh god,
that's dire.
Yeah, so that's where, I mean, this is a game where Sol Campbell had his goal disallowed and we lost on penalties. 2006 World Cup, there's lots of rumour about him wanting to leave. He gets done by the fake shake.
Oh yeah,
in terms of I'd join Aston Villa. Leave England because they'd been set up that they were actually going to be bought out by an Arab and buy the club, be wealthy. Because it seems, as we get on to his later career, it does seem like he follows some money. But the 2006 tournament is where, you know, Paraguay, Trinidad and Tobago, drawing Sweden again. It's like it's been matched up.
Yeah.
And then this is where Rooney sent off the stamping on Ricardo Carvalho. We lose to Portugal again. We then have Manchester City career.
Oh, I forgot about this, but I do remember it, yeah.
So he's signing Rolando Bianchi, Gelson Fernandez, Giovanni, Martin Petrov, Ilano, Vedran Chorluka, Javier Garrido. Who of those do you reckon has got the best chance of still playing?
Oh, Chorluka? Fernandez? Chorluka played for ages for Locomotive Moscow.
I reckon Gelson Fernandez is still playing.
Yeah, potentially.
Vedran Chorluka's only 36.
Yeah.
I think he retired last year.
But he has retired last year.
Yeah, he's assistant for the Croatian national team. I do not remember seeing him on the bench.
No, that's true. I don't remember seeing him on the bench.
Gelson Fernandez is also 36 and also retired. Last playing for Eintracht Frankfurt. But this is where they went top of the league for after the first three games. I remember it was Kasper Schmeichel was in goal.
Yeah.
Making his... And they kind of just faded away. This is Thaksin Shinawatra era. This isn't current money. This is big money, but not big money, as it were. But they qualified for the Europa Cup. He eventually got getting sacked as, you know, it ended with a really shock 8-1 loss to Middlesbrough in the final day of the season, where apparently there's players weren't playing for him anymore.
Yeah, I remember him being appointed at Man City and thinking it's a bit odd. But I remember him just going back to England when he was appointed at England and not obviously really knowing who he was, and was expecting a attacking style because what Kevin Keegan had tried to do. And I can remember sort of thinking, well, yeah, let's continue that, but get a better person that does it.
Yeah, this is a name. It's all in his glamorous Serie A, he's won stuff. Yeah. This will be exciting, and it really was meh, wasn't it? Was it
a waste of our golden generation of the time? Yeah, like with that manager. With hindsight, who would you have want? Who now would you have liked to have, like in that era?
I've always wanted Arsene Wenger to manage England.
Oh, that would have been
style of play he had at Arsenal, and it would have had very good footballers at for England. I think that would have been excellent because he had a solid defence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would he have got Gerrard and Lampard working? I reckon he would. I reckon he could have.
Yeah.
I reckon Arsene Wenger could have. Yeah.
Yeah. So Man City was kind of his last big job. When we have Mexico national team, Notts County. Do you remember this?
Yes, it was the takeover that had loads of money and it didn't really happen.
Sol Campbell joins. Yeah. Plays one game before leaving. Kasper Schmeichel is also there.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird the Kasper Schmeichel piece? He's played from three different clubs. Two so far.
Yeah.
Ivory Coast is after Notts County, then Leicester City.
Ah.
Yeah, so his first game in charge was against Hull, managed by Nigel Pearson. Obviously, we know managed Leicester a few times. But then Sven brings in Carl Norton, Yakubu, and does well. And then next season he brings in Kasper Schmeichel, David Nugent, Paul Konchesky. They were part of a team that won the championship the following year, survived relegation the next year, and then obviously Kasper Schmeichel was part of the squad that was part of the team that won the 15-16 Premier League. So Kasper Schmeichel, he gave him his debut, I'm going to guess, at Man City.
Yeah.
He brought him to Notts County and then played him at and brought him in at Leicester.
He obviously saw something he really liked.
Yeah. I mean, Kasper Schmeichel had a better career than I thought he would do.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Whoa. All right. Name the permanent clubs that Kasper Schmeichel's played for.
Permanent clubs?
Yeah.
So Man City and Leicester are permanent.
Yeah.
Notts County was a loan, I think, if I remember right.
No, Notts County was permanent.
Oh, Notts County was permanent.
Yeah. You've got two more. One's his current club and one was in between Notts County and Leicester.
I mean, I'll go like in region and go Leeds.
Yeah.
Is it?
Take Leeds. Yeah.
Because I know it wasn't Man United, so I would go. Yeah, okay. I don't know the other one. No chance.
You don't know his current club?
Oh, Rennes. No, the other one in France.
Oh, there's only two clubs.
In France. Lens or Rennes.
Lens. Nice.
Oh, Nice. For fuck's sake, there's three clubs in France.
Nice. I think there's also. Is that where Ross Barkley is at Nice?
I have no idea. I've not even thought about Ross Barkley for a good number of seasons.
So we have Ross Barkley. Joe Bryan, which I think is the old left-back Fulham who scored in the playoff final against Brentford, caught David Raya out from long range.
Was that not Joe O'Brien? Or is he at Nottingham Forest currently?
Joe Bryan, Fulham. Yes, he scored twice next time in the Championship playoff final to send Fulham back up to Premier League after a one-year absence. The first one being a long-range throw free kick. Yeah, of course, it's a one-year absence, you Fulham. Yeah, I mean, Nice have got Kasper Schmeichel, Dante. That's going to be Dante of Wolfsburg and
Big
Bayern.
Centre-back.
Age 39.
Wow.
We have Ross Barkley, Joe Bryan, Aaron Ramsey.
Pepe.
Youssef Atal, Jean-Claire Todibo, good young defender. Nicolas Pepe is there. This is Morgan Schneiderlin is there. Who's managing them?
So who of Premier League rejects?
No way is this the manager. This is an FM name. Defender, defensive midfielder, youth prospect.
Van den Boer.
French.
Oh.
Was a Le Havre player. Went on to play for Middlesbrough. And I think he might have been PSG. Didier Degard.
Oh, yeah. Didier Degard, yeah.
Who is actually 3 years younger than Dante.
Blimmin' hell. Wow.
Yeah. He's interim. He was Nice B manager, now caretaker. Oh, who knew?
Who knew? Back to Sven.
Leicester City, and then we have China. He's following money.
Just before we get to that China bit, that bit in the middle on his Wikipedia page between Leicester and China is bonkers, by the way. Have you read it?
No, because I didn't know where to start with that.
Yeah. So Leeds revealed that Eriksen had applied for the job at the club after they got rid of Simon Grayson. But stated on his application that it was unsuccessful. But then he was unveiled as the technical director of BEC Tero Cesana in the Thai Premier League. Then he was reported that he was in talks with Vålerengen in Norway about taking over. But the two parties met and there wasn't a deal. Then in December, there was negotiations between Eriksson and the Ukraine Football Federation, but it didn't come to anything. Then it was announced he was going to take over your favourite, 1860 Munich.
There's only one 1860.
And be an assistant manager. But then it turned down that Eriksson declined the offer because in January that year, he became technical director of Dubai-based Al Nassr at the UAE Arabian Golf League. So I think it's fair to say he was doing the money before China.
Oh, absolutely. He's declined that because he gets a better offer from somewhere else. Okay, is how it looks. Isn't it?
If I'd been a slightly successful manager, though, a bit harsh. If I'd been a manager that had won stuff previously and someone went to me, you're getting on a bit. Do you want to be a technical director? And you're like, what does that mean? And they're like, I don't really know. Because I don't think people in Dubai knew what a technical director was going to be doing at that era, right? I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's basically utilising your name and just having a little bit of input here and there, but without the pressure of being the manager.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't know what a technical director does now at a football club, so it doesn't really matter about the era, but yeah.
Yeah, and then we have China. We have, three teams in China where he's facing off against other big... big coaches. So is it Andreas Boas actually replaced him? We have Clarence Seedorf as a manager at one. It's that area of China is also quite
that could be a discussion. Ooh. Yeah,
yeah,
that could definitely be a discussion going forward.
And then we have the final job, as we'll always finish, Philippines national team.
Yeah, my neck of the woods.
Yeah. Recommended suspicion by interim coach Scott Cooper, who took over after Terry Butcher's resignation. Scott Cooper, mean anything to you?
No, but other than that being incredibly bizarre, that Terry Butcher resigned, Scott Cooper was announced as an interim, and then Sven took over. So they went British-British-Swedish.
It feels odd that they need, does Scott Cooper need to recommend Sven? It's Sven.
Yeah, exactly. Who is Scott Cooper? Josh, have you had a look?
Yeah, he varied managerial career. So, from Sheffield, but played for South Florida Bulls for a year, which is a school, I think.
I was going to say that sounds indoor to me, but it could be a school.
Quick peek click on that. University of South Florida, yeah. Then we have managerial career. Chester, assistant manager. Anguilla, Montserrat, Anguilla. England's under-15, ISFA, Independent Schools Football Association.
Nice.
Leicester City youth coach in 2011. Does that overlap with Sven at all?
I imagine it does, yeah. Let me have a quick check. Yes, 2010 to 2011 was Leicester City for Sven, so...
Buriram United youth manager. Yep. Buriram United manager, which...
Thailand.
Yeah, he was named Man of the Month in June. He led Buriram United to a top 10 club rank in Asia, creating history for the Thai club in the process. Scored an average of 3.1 goals per game, whilst conceding 0.75 goals a game. Okay, I think he's written it himself. Wang Thong United, Mitra Kukar, Police Tiro, Philippines caretaker, Philippines manager, Ascar's development team, Philippines under-23, and now manager of Port.
Thailand. He just stays in Thailand and Asia, basically.
A little mention there of Singapore. He beat Singapore. Sven, this is his Philippines manager.
Yeah, most people beat Singapore.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
I think our school first 11 back in the day probably could have beaten Singapore.
And there we have the end of his career. And obviously lots of things won. Lazio in the Serie A Cups with each of his Italian side, Roma, Sampdoria, Lazio, or apart from Fiorentina, actually. BBC Sports Personality of the Year Coach Award in 2001. So a year without a major tournament. He's just joined. What's he getting that for?
He designed... I'm just seeing when he got appointed. He was appointed... in 2001, January 2001, as England manager. So he would have done all the qualifications and got us to the World Cup. Has he basically won it because we beat Germany 5-1?
I'm just having a look at the BBC page. That's all it mentions. So it mentions, Coach of the Year, Sven Eriksson, mentions this timeline of the arriving. And then it says, an interview later on, Michael Owen admits it was nice to get one back on Germany, while England coach Sven Eriksson says England were lucky to get through to World Cup finals.
Josh, I found a better page than that, mate. If you just clicked on BBC Sports Person of the Year Coach Award, it gives you the rationale for them winning it.
Oh, excellent.
Sven-Goran Eriksson, for guiding England through qualification for the World Cup, defeating Germany 5-1 in the process. He literally won it for beating Germany 5-1.
That just shows how pathetic that award was. Because that, think of all the excellent managers, coaches of other sports, and just because football is the biggest sport, that wins that. That is outrageous.
Yeah. Next year, Arsene Wenger, Arsenal League Cup double. At least that's something.
That's achieving something,
The whole season and things like that, yeah. Unbelievable.
He beat Germany in one match in a qualifier.
Who won it in 2009? Think England. Think England manager.
Roy.
Fabio Capello. Why did he win it? For guiding England to the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, winning an impressive 9 out of 10 qualifiers. And you think, like you were saying earlier, right? Like nowadays, it's just, if we don't win all of them, it's just sort of like, that was rubbish.
Yeah. God, that makes me feel a bit sick. Makes me feel like kind of a male white privilege type feel there. It's like, oh yeah, he's a manager of the men's national team, given the award. Like, oh,
I'm not going to lie, it's consistent. Gareth Southgate, 2018, for leading England men to the 2018 World Cup semi-final. 2021, Gareth Southgate for leading England to the UEFA Euro 2020 final at Wembley, ending the nation's 55-year wait for a major final since 1966.
Please say this year's was the England women's team.
Won Serena Weigman, for guiding England to victory at the UEFA Women's Euro 22. Nation's first major women's football trophy, but yeah. Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, no, okay. It makes sense. I was going to say, in 2017, there was three joint winners, but they were all for the UK athletics sprint relay teams because they all won. They train as a big team, and then they had three different coaches for the individual sprinting teams that did it. So, makes sense. There you go.
I wanted to say one thing. We'll go one page because we haven't gone there. I don't know why. Tor Grip. Just having a quick look on Tor Grip's page.
I think that's fair.
85 years old. So, but he was up until 7 years ago was working. He was a Kosovo assistant manager. I mean, it's very similar to Sven's career. Obviously, we've got a few different bits in there in terms of Kosovo, young boys, Indonesia under-23s, Norway. That is Tor Grip.
I'm just looking at Sven's stats for win percentages in the jobs he's had. 73% win percentage in his first stint at Benfica, which is unreal. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
In England, he had a 59.7 win percentage, which is his third best, I think, of all of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of many managers that will have a win percentage that high for England.
I think you'd be surprised for England.
Really?
I really do.
Oh, okay.
Let's have a look. Yeah, I think you'll have, because there's so much qualifying, I think it'll be, Gareth Southgate is 60.5.
Wow, okay.
Sam Allardyce is 100.
Yeah, obviously.
Roy Hodgson, 58.9. Capello, 66.7. Steve McLaren, 50. Sven, 59. Glenn Hoddle, 60.
Yeah, okay.
So just quickly sort that. So, yeah. Fabio Capello has the best out of anyone who's managed a decent amount of games. Alf Ramsey is second, and then Glenn Hoddle, Gareth Southgate, Ron Greenwood, Sven. So yeah, I mean, it's good.
Yeah. It's not outstanding for England though, now that you've just pointed out. But when you said there Fabio Capello was top, he was the most I was excited about an England manager being appointed, Fabio Capello. I was so excited when we appointed him. Oh.
Which one do you just quickly view on England manager and nationality?
Well, we've had this discussion. And I think the more older I get, the elder I get, I'm leaning more towards how you feel about it. That it should be the best that your country can offer.
Yes.
But then I also feel like that is quite hindering for smaller nations.
Yeah, I almost feel like there needs to be a kind of trigger point where going, if you're really shit, appoint who you want. But as soon as you get good, you've got to stick by these rules.
Maybe like FIFA top 50 all have to have their countrymen.
As soon as you've entered, as soon as you've ticked over into that top 50 once...
That would be interesting.
Because you might not want to flirt with it. You get if you're a foreign manager of the national team, like, I don't want to win this because I'm going to the top 50 and lose my job.
But could it encourage longer tenures to get a second nationality? If you
so you're qualifying that, are you?
So if you got Singapore as an Englishman to the top 50 in FIFA, you would have been here long enough to mean that you could qualify for Singapore national become a Singapore national, and then that would that break the rules, having a second national? I mean, it happens in international footballers; they're allowed to use Irish and, you know.
Yeah, do we need a certain age bracket, like homegrown players?
Oh,
it's got to be, your stint's got to be there before the age of 21, 3 years before the age of 21, is it, something like that?
Maybe it's like the big six nations have to have their homegrown. I'm trying to think, because Brazil always generally have a Brazilian. In our lifetime, I can't remember them not having a Brazilian coach. Argentina, I'm not too sure, but I think most of those are Argentinian.
I think hasn't Bielsa managed on his Argentinian? I think a Uruguayan has managed.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, maybe it's Bielsa's managed Uruguay. Like
Italy?
That.
Can you think of an Italian in our life? An Italian manager that isn't Italian?
No.
French? Can you think? Is it just us that does? Is it actually a legitimate, maybe a rule for the top 10 nations? It's just the way the ones not doing it. Although Belgium don't do it, obviously. Martinez. And Portugal, Martinez.
I think it's more around what you've got, isn't it, really? And we were scrambling around. I don't know, yeah, I have been different nations, but not for a while. So, list of Brazilian national team managers we had... In 1925, Uruguay, 1944, Portuguese, 1965, Argentinian.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Fair enough. Well, I guess that brings an end to our Sven-Göran Eriksson discussion. A few little tangents here and there, as ever. It's always good fun to go on those tangents and see where we end up. We didn't actually touch on his personal life that much, but I think it's because he's got such a varied, and broad management career that there's much to talk around about that. But thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure to have another discussion with you on Wikipedia Wanderers, and that's the end of this week's podcast. So thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can search for us for Wiki Wanderers. But next time, we'll see you then. Cheers.